ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम् 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 49। जातयोनोर्महादेवे भुवि विश्वेश्वरे हरो भक्ति स्यात् परमालोके ययांजो दुर्गतिं तरे। Translation: Drona and Dhara said, "Please permit us to be born on the planet Earth so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all planets, will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable conditions of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service." Purport: This statement by Drona clearly indicates that Drona and Dhara are the eternal father and mother of Krishna. Whenever there is a necessity of Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dhara appears first, and then Krishna appears. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that his birth is not ordinary. Janma karma cha me divyam. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam iswaropi san prakritim swam adhishthaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the master, I am the lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Before Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dhara appear in order to become his father and mother. It is they who appear as Nanda Maharaj and his wife Yashoda. In other words, it is not possible for a sadhana siddha living being to become the father and mother of Krishna, for Krishna's father and mother are already designated. But by following the principles exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their associates, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, ordinary living beings, may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yashoda. When Drona and Dhara were requested to beget children, they chose to come to this world to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son, Krishna. Krishna's appearance means paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya cha duskritam. The devotees are protected and the miscreants are vanquished. Whenever Krishna comes, he distributes the highest goal of life, devotional service. He appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the Supreme Person because unless one comes to devotional service, one cannot be delivered from the miseries of the material world, dukkhalayam asashvatam, where the living beings struggle for existence. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, mamevamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatanah manasastani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Because of conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entities are struggling to become happy, but unless they take to the bhakti cult, their happiness is not possible. Krishna clearly says, asraddhadhanah purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mam nivartante mrityu samsara vartamani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. Foolish persons do not know how risky life is here. If one does not follow the instructions of Krishna, the Krishna consciousness movement therefore has been started so that by practicing Krishna consciousness, one can avoid the risky life of this material existence. There is no question of accepting or not accepting Krishna consciousness. It is not optional. It is very compulsory. If we do not take to Krishna consciousness, our life is very risky. Everything is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, to learn how to become free from the miserable conditions of material existence, Bhagavad Gita as it is the preliminary study. Then, if one understands Bhagavad Gita, one can proceed to Srimad Bhagavatam, and if one advances further, one may study Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are therefore presenting these invaluable books to the whole world so that people may study them and be happy, being delivered from miserable conditional life. Hare Krishna. I seek blessings of all the assembled devotees here. I am first time giving a class to this assembly, so I don't know whether I will be able to satisfy you, but nevertheless I will try my best. The purport of Srila Prabhupada to this verse is quite explicit. It doesn't need any explanation. But for my own purification, I will just try to attempt something. So please bless me so that I can do something with this. This chapter actually describes the ceremony of giving the name to Krishna and Balaram. And for this purpose, and also this chapter describes that how Krishna, when he appeared in Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram, how they were crawling, how they were playing with the cows and eating dirt and sowing the universal form within his mouth to his mother Yasoda. So the chapter is now at the conclusion, and I'll just say that so far the discussion in these chapters have covered how Garga Muni, the family priest of Yadu dynasty, who was sent by Vasudev, came to Nanda Maharaj's house in Gokul Vrindavan, Gokul Mahavan, and he performed the name-giving ceremony to Krishna and Balaram in a very secret way, so that the evil-minded Kansa would not come to notice and suspect that Krishna was the eighth child of Devaki and Vasudev. This is described. Then Garga Muni, while giving various names to Krishna and Balaram, informed Nanda Maharaj about their supreme position and the reasons behind those names, their particular names that indicated their various qualities and their activities. Sukadeva Goswami next describes how the two children Krishna and Balaram crawled, walked on their small legs, played with cows, calves, stole butter and other milk products, and broke the pots and did so many astonishing tricks as their childhood pranks. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami was very happily describing many, many naughty pastimes and activities of Krishna and Balaram. And the most wonderful of those occurred when Krishna's playmates, Krishna's friends, they complained to Mother Yasoda that Krishna was eating dirt. And Mother Yasoda wanted to open Krishna's mouth to see for the evidence whether Krishna has really eaten dirt or not. And she just wanted to chastise, correct Krishna that this type of activities is not good for his health. Srila Sukadeva Goswami further describes how Mother Yasoda sometimes assumed the position of chastising mother, and sometimes she was flooded with maternal love, exhibiting wonderful mellows of parental vatsalya prem. Hearing all these activities of Lord Krishna and Balaram and Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini, King Parikshit became very much overwhelmed with wonder and praising the qualities of fortune of Mother Yasoda, asked to Sukadeva Goswami, Nanda kim akarod brahman shreya eva mahadayan, Yasoda cha mahabhaga papo asya stanam hari. So he asked, O learned Brahmala, please tell me, Mother Yasoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What was the auspicious activity that she and Nanda Maharaj performed to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? So, he also said that although Krishna was pleased with Devaki and Vasudev and appeared as their son, but they could not enjoy his childhood pastimes, whereas Nanda and Yasoda were so fortunate. So what was the reason? Why? What was the auspicious activities that they did so that they could get this opportunity to become enjoyer of Krishna's childhood pastimes? So in today's verse, Jata Yonor Mahadeve Bhuvi Vishveswari Haro Bhakti Shyat Paramaloke Yeyanjo Durgatim Taret. Prabhupada has talked about many these things in this. He has said that Drona and Dhara were previously Lord Krishna's eternal parents. Drona and Dhara, they were eternal parents of Krishna. And when Lord Krishna was about to descend at this planet Earth to perform his activities, childhood pastimes here, they also desire to come here and to be part of his pastimes in this material world. And then he describes about the transcendental appearance and transcendental appearance of Krishna, which is Prabhupada is quoting, Ajopisan Navyayatma Bhutanam Ishwaropisan. Krishna says there that although I am unborn, but still I appears to be taking birth. So it's a contradictory that if someone is unborn, how can he take birth? That is why Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities, all these are called transcendental. And the purpose behind all these activities, Krishna again explains. There are many purposes given in other scriptures also. And Krishna says, Paritrana, the main purpose of appearing in this material world is to Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinasayach Duskritam. So Prabhupada takes up a point and he mentions that, like one may ask a question, Prabhupada says that a sadhan siddha devotee cannot become father and mother of Krishna. They are already designated, they are already there, and they only come as father and mother of Krishna to perform pastimes with him here also, very very Krishna go. So someone may ask a question that what is the fate of those who worship Krishna in the parental mood? So will they become in future parents of Krishna? Prabhupada gives the answer, no, they cannot become parents of Krishna, but by following the principles exhibited by Nanda and Yasoda in that particular rasa, or inhabitants of Vrindavan, Prabhupada is actually talking about Raganuga Bhakti. So Raganuga Bhakti, as described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is the following on the footsteps of persons who are actually engaged into Raga Bhakti. And Raga Bhakti is performed only by inhabitants of Vrindavan or eternal associates of Lord Krishna. So those who follow the footsteps of such devotees and with that mood they perform devotional service to Krishna, they are called Raganuga Bhaktas. So by becoming that kind of Bhakta, they will get a mood so that they can release the same kind of mellows what Nanda and Yashoda was enjoying, but they cannot become father and mother of Krishna because they are already eternally designated. And then Prabhupada is mentioning about the materialistic people, how these materialistic people, they risk this life in this material world enjoying sense gratification, not knowing that this material body is given for the purpose, for a higher purpose, for the purpose of crossing over the material existence. 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that this human body is very rare. Nadehamadyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karanadharam mayanuklena nabhasteritam puman bhavadhim natarit sa atmaha. So therein it is mentioned that this material body, especially this human form of life, is given as a very strong boat to cross over the this very difficult to cross over the ocean of birth and death, bhava. But this material body in the form of human body is given like a boat, and if someone utilizes it properly, then he can cross over this material ocean. And Prabhupada says that people, without understanding the purpose behind this material body, they try to enjoy their senses, and that is why Prabhupada calls that fools, calls such people as fools. And Prabhupada is mentioning that Krishna consciousness for the human being is not an optional, it is a compulsory this thing for all living entities. Because it is only because of Krishna consciousness that a person can perfect his life, and there is no other means available in this material world. And Prabhupada says that for this purpose we have created this society of ISKCON, and for this purpose only we have struggled to give so much literatures so that people can understand the purpose of their form and their existence in this material world, and then accordingly they execute their activities day by day, so that at the end they can peacefully go home back to Godhead. So I was just reading some other this thing also on commentaries on this sloka, so I could gather some information which I would like to just share with you. I know you may be aware of all these things, just for my purification I am just trying to share this. So according to Srila Sanatan Goswami in Brihat Vaishnava Toshini, which is the commentary of 10th canto Bhagavatam, he is mentioning that King Parikshit was actually very well aware about Lord Krishna's pastime, and Krishna is eternal, and his appearance and his pastimes are also eternal, and that is the reason his father and mother, they are also eternal. It is not that somebody by performing some sadhana can become his associates. They are all eternal. So although he was knowing, then why he asked such a question to Sukadeva Goswami? That what was the purpose, or what the activities Drona and Dhara performed, or Yasoda and Nanda performed, that they could enjoy the pastime, childhood pastimes of Krishna. So it is not possible to attain such love and affection, he says, as Nanda and Yasoda had for Krishna, for a sadhana siddha or an ordinary person. Therefore, with a view, he had this in mind that many people may be having this question, that okay, by performing some sadhana, I can perfect my life and become eternal associate of Krishna. But he here says that those who are bereft of such devotional service, they only think like this. And to eradicate such doubts in this type of people, he put forth these questions. Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman. Sukadeva Goswami replied to King Parikshit's question with a very indifferent attitude. He is, if you study this chapter clearly at the end, he is just dedicating only two chapters about Drona and Dhara, and directly introducing who was Drona and who was Dhara. And what did they do? They just go to Brahmaji and they are asking this question, that we want to appear into this material world as per your order. So please give us blessing so that we can become parents of Krishna, and then we can serve Krishna there at the planet Earth Bhuvi. So he was not giving a full answer to them. He knew that Parikshit wants to eradicate the misconception that Krishna prema can be obtained by purva sadhana, or someone already has performed some sadhana and then he can attain Krishna prema by his sadhana. So he just gave a passing reply to his answer, saying that Drona and Dhara, they were demigods, they were best of the vasus. Drona was the eldest vasu, and Dhara was his wife. And they performed tapasya. The detail of the tapasya is also mentioned elsewhere, that they perform a long, long tapasya, and then Brahma approaches to them and he then blesses them that don't perform such tapasyas. In fact, it is mentioned they were about to give up their body, thinking that our desire is not being fulfilled, and it's a long time that we are performing tapasya. Then an unembodied voice spoke from the sky that don't give up your life. Very soon you are going to become father and mother of Krishna. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is going to appear to you as your son. So he just gave a passing reply. But later he realized that Parikshit was not very happy with this reply. And realizing that Parikshit is not convinced, he gives the actual answer in the next chapter in 20th sloka. There he says, Nemam biranchino bhavo nasrirapya sriranga sansraya prasadam lebhire gopi yattat prapya bimuktida. Wherein he says that neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can attain such mercy as received by Mother Yasoda. So, it means in this sloka that if such people, Brahma, Shiva and Lakshmi, they cannot attain Krishna, or the prem which Yasoda and Nanda has for Krishna, if they cannot attain, then how some other person by their blessing can attain such a thing? It is not possible to attain such a highest thing by blessings of such people who themselves are not eternal. So, by their benediction, the demigods such as Brahma, Shiva, they cannot attain Krishna by any auspicious activities. So, when Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva themselves cannot obtain such fortune, how can their benediction can award such fortune upon somebody else? So, thus it was not the benediction of Lord Brahma that Drona and Dhara became father and mother of Lord Krishna. Rather, they were the original Nanda and Yashoda from Golok, and who appeared as Drona and Dhara as desired by the Lord. Lord himself has desired that I am going to perform my pastimes at planet Earth. So you first become Drona and Dhara, go there, and then you appear. And this is mentioned in Gopal Champu. First Champu, there are two parts of the Champu, Purva Champu and Uttar Champu. So this is mentioned in Purva Champu, Tritiyam Puranam, verse number 57. It says, the sloka says that when Nanda and Yasoda had passed a year of following the Dwadasi Vrata vows, and when their hankering for the child who steered their heart became so intense, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared in their dream and said, O devotees, very attached to me, why are you so troubled? A delicate boy, dark and glorious like an Atasi flower, will become your son. You will be able to gaze on him always. This lovely boy appears in every kalpa as your beloved son to spread his devotional service throughout. Drona and Dhara, who appears among the demigods following my order, are your Amsa or Kala Amsa. You took birth on the earth in this place, which is glorified in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, slok number 34, wherein Lord Brahma prays to take birth in Gokul Vrindavan. Please know that your glorious desires will be soon fulfilled. So from this it appears that Drona and Dhara actually came here at this planet or in this Brahmanda just to assist Krishna in his pastimes of spreading the Krishna consciousness throughout this world. Srinath Sanatana Goswami also mentions that the description of Drona and Dhara by Sukadeva Goswami also contained the solution of King Parikshit's question. I mean, whatever Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning, that also contained the answer of Parikshit Maharaj's question. Since Drona and Dhara were part and parcel of Nanda and Yasoda, their appearance in this universe was part of Lord Krishna's pastimes. As their heart was saturated with parental affection, it was natural for them to have Lord Krishna as their son. So, however, while seeking boon from Lord Brahma, they could notice presence of people predominantly influenced by Aishwarya Gyan, awe and reverence. So, they could not express their heart out of introversion, and rather they asked the boon of Parabhakti, Bhakti Shyat Paramaloke. They asked the boon. Shripad Bhakti Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that according to the logic of Falena Parichayate, seeing the result, one can infer the cause. The word prema bhakti, which is mentioned in this sloka, bhakti syat parama, parama bhakti, which is mentioned, is not actually, if we count, the highest form of bhakti is the conjugal rasa. That's true in the parakiya bhav. So Nanda and Yasoda or Drona and Dhara, when they were asking Brahma about parama bhakti, they were asking the highest bhakti. Their intention was not to ask about the parakiya ras bhakti. Rather, because they were the eternal parent of Krishna, they were actually asking for this. But because they could not open their heart in front of so many people there, they just said that, give us the parama bhakti. But in their intention, the parama bhakti was give us the mood of parental affection for Lord Krishna. So, this, thus the boon of para bhakti is actually asked for vatsalya prema unto Lord Krishna, when they asked that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also mentions that this verse refers to the future life of Drona and Dhara. So, herein a very powerful lesson is mentioned that, that Drona and Dhara wanted to appear again, or they were going to take birth again in the material world. So what was their expectation when they were going to appear again? And they wanted bhakti to Mahadeve. Bhakti to Mahadeve. They said that Jatayorno Mahadeve Bhuvi Vishveshwareharo. When we are born at planet Earth, please give us bhakti to Mahadev. So when they say Mahadev, who is Mahadev? So they are referring to Krishna. Because Krishna is Dev of all the Devas. That is why he is called Mahadev. And this particular episode, they are asking this boon, is a lesson for all of us. And what lesson we should extract from this pastime is that we may also take many, many births. It's not that this is our final birth and we can go home back to Godhead and then no more birth. Suppose if we are going to appear in this material world, what should be our expectation? What should be our expectation next? This we have already got. This will exhaust after some time. But what will be the next? So the next should be that we should also ask only for, or we should also hanker only for the loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and nothing else. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appears, he teaches the same thing. He teaches the same thing through his Sikshastakam. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani, janmani, ishvare, bhavatad bhaktir, ahetu kitoi. So that should be our expectation. Whatever number of life we are going to come into, we should always hanker only for Krishna bhakti and nothing else. No other material expectation, because all other material expectations, they are binding, whether good or bad. Bhakti Vinod Thakur also sings the same thing. Kita janma hau jadi tuva das, bahir mukha brahma janme nahi abhilas. So whatever form of life I appear, O Krishna, let me become devotee of you. Let me become servant of your servant of your servant, so that by this process I can serve you eternally. So there should be no other expectations. That is what Drona and Dhara is also teaching to us, that we want to appear at the Bhuvi Earth, at the Bhu planet Earth, but please give us that we become devotee of Lord Krishna. We become assistant mission of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna appears at that planet Earth to reclaim all the fallen conditioned soul. So let me become assistant to Krishna. In whatever capacity it is possible, let us become assistant to Krishna. That should be the expectation of the living entity. Mahadev also refers great personalities or great pastimes. Krishna is called Adbhut Karmana. Krishna is the performer of great feasts. Extraordinary feats. All his activities, if we just see, although Krishna appears like an ordinary child, but all his activities are supramundane. They are beyond comprehension of the human intelligence. Like lifting Govardhan, Krishna was just a 7-year-old boy and he did not increase the size. He just entered into under the Govardhan, which was miles long at that time, and effortlessly he just lifted that Govardhan on the top of his little finger, held it for 7 days, 7 nights, performed so many activities under that. How can a human intelligence, materialistically influenced intelligence, can understand it is possible for a child like this? People say, Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, those who understand or those who think that when I appear as a human form, they think that manusim tanum asritam avajananti mama mudha manusim tanum asritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. So Krishna is exhibiting by these extraordinary activities who he is actually. Fourth chapter Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is actually explaining about the Divya Gyan, he is actually mentioning about his own understanding. He is mentioning about janma and karma, they are divya, and how one can understand, and what a person will who understands my activities, what result he will get, and those who will not understand, what will be their attraction. He says that such people, those who don't understand me, they will be distracted and they will be attracted only to demigods for fulfilling their sense gratificatory desires. So bringing back the dead child of his guru Sandipani Rishi, this is again extraordinary feats. And he not only brought the child years after so many years of that person leaving the body, but he gave them exactly the same body what he would be looking like at that time. So this is Krishna who can perform such things. Krishna swallowed the forest fire. Again extraordinary. Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya, a moving serpent. The serpent was trying to put Krishna down by all means, but Krishna was effortlessly dancing, jumping after one hood to another hood to another hood. This is Krishna's extraordinary feats that Krishna can perform. That is why Krishna is called Mahadev. No one can do such things. In all these activities, Krishna remained ordinary child, but did extraordinary feats. And this is called Leela Madhuri. This is extra with Krishna. Four things are extra with Krishna. Rupa Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, Prema Madhuri and Venu Madhuri. This cannot be found even in the expansions of Krishna, who are at the Samatulya Dharatal, Vishnu Tattvas. But Krishna only can exhibit such things. So that is why he is called Mahadev. And Vishveshwara means the Lord who maintains full power, strength, appears within the material universe. According to the statement of Uddhava in third canto, Krishna, the master of Narayan and Brahma, appeared along with his plenary portion such as Mahavishnu, Matsya and Kurma. In other words, Krishna is Purna. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Krishna may expand into any number at his same equivalent, at the lower qualities, even at Jiva's fragmented part and parcel, Mame Vamsu Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, still Krishna remains the same thing. That is why Krishna is Vishveshwara. Krishna mentioned Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I am the Vishveshwara of all the lokas. Sorry. Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually mentions that how Krishna is Vishveshwara. He sings a song and he says that in that song, Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Nandana, Tomara Ichhaya Vishve Srijana Sanghara, Brajendra Kumara. He glorifies Krishna that, oh Krishna, you are the summum bonum. And because of your desires, the creation takes place, the destruction takes place, the maintenance takes place. Because of your desire, Brahma creates. Because of your desire, Shiva destroys. Because of your desire, Vishnu maintains. Because of your desire, everything is being done. Even the Jiva, although he is trying to roam around this world, roaming all over the Brahmanda into many, many forms of life, seeking for happiness, material pleasure. But unless Krishna desires to give that material pleasure, not even possible for the jiva to get this material pleasure. Miche maya baddha jiva asa pasa fire, tava iccha bina kichu karite na pare. So Krishna is the Vishveshwara. Krishna is the supreme proprietor of all the planetary systems. And yayanjo durgatim tarit. These words we'll just focus for some few minutes and then I'll just wind up. So there are two types of things. Here it is mentioned, Drona and Dhara, they are asking Brahmaji that please bless us so that we appear into the in the pastimes of Krishna and assist him. Krishna is appearing in this material world. His activities are so enchanting. Just by becoming attracted to his activities and doing service to Krishna, remembering all those activities, one can become free from Durgati. So, we'll get Sadgati. Person will get Sadgati. What is Sadgati? He will not come to suffer in this material world. But what is Durgati? Let us focus on that because we are all caught up into this kind of Durgati. Ishopanishad, the first mantra, it is says that this entire creation is property of Krishna. And everything is Krishna, and one should take the quota which is allotted to him. Second sloka, it is saying that those who work in this mood, although they live for hundreds of years, but they are not caught by the clutches of the karmic reactions. And the third sloka, it says that those who doesn't follow the Krishna consciousness, those who doesn't live their life according to Krishna consciousness principles, for them, asuryanama te loka andhena tamasavrita. Tamste pretya abhigacchanti ekecha atmahanojana. Such people will go into the darkest region of the material creation. And what is the darkest region? Wherever we cannot understand, remember Krishna, that is the darkest. So that is the biggest Durgati. If a person is not understanding pastimes of Krishna, not becoming attracted to Krishna, not doing devotional service to Krishna, because it is his constitutional position. It's not that imposition that someone has to be banged behind, that you have to work for somebody. It is not like that. Krishna's, we are part and parcel of Krishna, and because of that reason, we are always supposed to serve Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrit mentions that. Jivera sarupo hai Krishnera nitya das. So who is das? One who does dasta. Dasta means who serves. Who doesn't serve, he is not a das. So we are Krishna's das, and if a servant is not serving the master, what will be his destination? He cannot make the master happy by not serving the master. And if he is not happy, if the master is not happy, the person cannot also remain happy. So if someone wants to become happy, first thing is that he has to make the master happy. And in this world, no one is master. Ekala Ishwar Krishna, Arusab Bhritya. All others are servants of Krishna. Krishna is the only master. Krishna is the only master. So all of us, that is why Prabhupada is saying, it is not optional. It is not optional. It is compulsory for all living entities to serve Krishna. And by serving Krishna, one can become free from Durgati. If they doesn't serve Krishna, then it is said, if someone doesn't work in the Krishna consciousness, putting Krishna into center, then what is his destination? His destination is asuryanam te loka andhena tamasavrita. Tamste pretya abhigacchanti ekecha atmahanojana. I was just watching a video some few months back. And in that video, it was shown different kinds of living entities into the caves. Normally, the light doesn't enter into caves. And in that video, I saw that there are living entities even in that dark caves. But what are these living entities doing there? These living entities, they were bats just hanging on the roof of the cave, and they were passing stool and urine, and that has actually created a layer after layer and layer, thick layer of the stool. And in that stool, billions and trillions of other cockroaches and other living entities were there. So I was just trying to remember this. Ishopanishad said they will go to that Asurya Nama Loka, where not even the light of sun will enter. So that is the destination. That is called Durgati. That is called Durgati. But if someone participate into the pastimes of Krishna, help all other living entities to come closer to Krishna, that's what Drona and Dhara were desiring. We want to appear into the pastimes of Krishna, assist him into his pastimes. He is actually doing all his pastimes to attract the living entities so that they will be freed from Durgati. So anyone who is serving Krishna, it is his duty to assist Krishna into these pastimes. And that's the reason Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita that he tells to Arjuna, "Oh Arjun, whoever describes this dialogues between me and you to other living entities, he is very, very dear to me. He is very dear to me." So devotees, they always expect like that. They always aspire like that. This is what is my humble exchange of whatever I have understood from this verse. If I have committed any blunder into this, please forgive me. And please also give your comments so that I can rectify myself. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, you please refer it to Nityanand Prabhu and Brajvihari Prabhu. They are very exalted here. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.